This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited, thrilled, delighted to be here with you on this wonderful Monday. Rob is here as well. Rob is in a good mood. This is the first Monday that he has been able to come to work in quite some time and not reeling from a loss from his favorite college football team. He just had the ability to go out and do his favorite fall activities. You know, he put on a nice little fall hat, maybe a Chelsea boot, a nice flannel. Him and the lady went out, went pumpkin picking, got them a little apple donuts, and he was able to enjoy his Saturday for the first time this fall because he is not walking around a loser. Congratulations to K-State. You guys got a good road win in conference. Congratulations to Missouri. They get back to their winning ways this weekend against UMass. And congratulations to KU as they also did not lose this past weekend. They're waiting. You know, they're saving the losses. They got more coming on their schedule. All right, we got a lot to get into over the course of now and the end of the show. Coming up in just a bit, we'll talk about J.J. Pecola as he had his final press conference, at least for this season, with the Kansas City Royals. And he started to paint the picture of what the offseason could look like. We'll catch up with Vern. He was at the press conference earlier today. We'll get his thoughts. We'll also talk a lot of NFL. There's something that I've been thinking about over the course of the last 24 hours. I will share with you what that is. We'll do all that after Rob gives you a chance to win a pizza.
Time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. Caller number 6, 913-586-7965. Caller number 6 wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tassio. Pizza Tassio is Kansas City's best New York-style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They got locations in Waldo, Belton, North KC, OP, and Midtown. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wines. So whether it's slices or whole pies, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you want some of the best pizza in the city and you also are enjoying enjoying football season, the best place to do both of those things is with us right here on 96.5 The Fan. So this is what I was thinking about over the course of the bye week, and I want to share my thoughts and opinions with you. So I follow a gentleman on Twitter. His name is Carl Reed. Very plugged into the high school scene here in Missouri. Very plugged into college football. A very solid analyst. And he tweeted this out last week, and I saved it. He tweeted out, "No one has an overwhelming talent advantage anymore. Coaching, clock management, and culture will be on display each and every week." And I was starting to think more and more about the concept of culture and what that means in building your football team. We talked to Mitch Holtis about it last week. And this quote, it has just been stuck in the back of my mind. For those of you that missed it, here's what Mitch Holtis said about the culture regarding the Kansas City Chiefs and what makes the Chiefs so different than so many other teams in the National Football League.
There is such a strong infrastructure. When you look at Brett Veach and the comprehensive, not only the talent, but the work ethic of his staff, the way they handle the camp, the way that they work and find guys. You alluded to it with Juju and Kareem Hunt and Samaje Perine assimilating into the system so quickly. That part of that is Brett Veach and his staff. A lot of it is the coaching staff of Andy Reid. No team, in fact, it's hard to look at all of professional sports. Who has a better infrastructure when you look at a personnel department, a coaching staff, and Hall of Fame folks than the Kansas City Chiefs right now? Who in the NBA would have it? Me? I don't know. Who would it be? But it goes back to an incredible, unshakable infrastructure that's there that has enough wiggle room that it deals with flashpoints like the Chiefs are now. We're living something really incredible right now. Who in baseball has the infrastructure that the Chiefs would have at this point? Who in hockey's got it? I mean, it's just, it's you ask the question, and to me, it's undeniably the Chiefs in how solid they are at every point of the star.
I've been really thinking about this idea of culture and what it means to create a culture for your organization and to have sustained long-term success. When I think about the San Francisco 49ers, they have established a very strong culture. Obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs, they have created a very strong culture. And then I look around the rest of the National Football League, and I think you see how if you have a poor foundation and whoever your leader is or your best player or your highest paid player, if they are not the ones establishing the culture and at the forefront and leading, you are built on a house of sand. Let's take the Philadelphia Eagles. 24 months ago, Philadelphia was the talk of the league. They had this cool, innovative quarterback sneak that no one could stop. Everybody loves Jason Kelce. Jalen Hurts was an emerging superstar. A.J. Brown was catching touchdowns each and every week. Your culture is going to be tested when things go wrong and when things are not ideal. And who are your leaders? Who is your foundation? And as I'm watching football, I see the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles yelling at home fans. This is not on the road the way that it was at Arrowhead. We are talking about after your team is coming off a bye, you are playing a bottom five team in the National Football League. Your team wins by four, wins by the hair on their chinny chin chin. Your head coach is turned around and is arguing with fans at the end of the game. It is nonsense. And then after the game, when you know you're going to be asked questions about it, you bring your kid to the press conference. Now, nothing wrong with bringing your kid to the press conference. Nothing wrong with spending time with your kid at work. But you know what you were doing. You know that those arrows were about to be directly pointed on you. So let's soften the blow a little bit. It's Philadelphia. He still got asked about it. Here's what Nick Sirianni had to say about yelling at fans in a home win yesterday against the Cleveland Browns. Embarrassing.
It looked like you were interacting with some fans at the end of the game. What was going on there?
No, just excited. Just excited to get the win.
Were fans yelling things at you from the...
Just excited to get the win.
There were a handful of coaches that got fired yesterday and they don't know it. They don't know it yet. I mean, their key card still works. They're still employed by the team. They got fired on Sunday. Nick Sirianni got fired on Sunday. Doug Peterson got fired on Sunday. Mike McCarthy got fired on Sunday. Yeah, you're still the head coach for now. But the way that you conducted yourself or the way that your team conducted itself, it is the beginning of the end. Let's not forget that at the very beginning of the season, there was a story about the Philadelphia Eagles and how the coach and the quarterback weren't on the same page, and that's how they play. They play like their coach and quarterback are not on the same page. It is difficult to establish a culture if that is the case. I am not the only one that feels this way about Nick Sirianni. Almost everybody feels that way about him at this point. Here's Damian Woody on ESPN's Get Up.
Bro, that was clown behavior. He looked like Nick Sirianni looked like an absolute clown. Doing all of that. I mean, the fact that you're going to sit up there and argue with people who spend their hard-earned money to come watch you play. If you don't put out a good performance, guess what? They have every right to boo you. And you need to take that because that's part of your job as a head coach. You can't have it one way or the other. Like, it's an all-encompassing job. And for you to sit there and then have your kids in the postgame to kind of deflect from, you know, reporters trying to come after you, it's lame, it's weak, he's a clown. It just looks ridiculous. Oh, by the way, you barely beat the Cleveland Browns at home. So don't give me any of that.
Yeah, no.
Bro, that was clown behavior.
Culture, accountability. If that is not what your small business, your company, your job, your profession, if that's not what it's built on, it is very difficult to have long-term sustained success. Look at the Cleveland Browns. Their leader is a predator. Their leader doesn't have a moral compass. They play like a team that has no direction on Sunday. Look at the Philadelphia Eagles. Their coach is worried about everything that has nothing to do with how to prepare your team to win. Look at the Raiders. They got the player coach. Everybody wanted Antonio Pierce. Your best player is opting out of playing in these games. The Raiders are open for business now. Your team's an embarrassment. You have no culture. You have no identity. You have no personality. And therefore, your house is built on a foundation of sand. It is just very obvious watching football on Saturday and seeing cultures like K-State, seeing cultures like Oregon, and how they conduct their business and how they go about things. And it is obvious why those programs have the success that they've been able to accumulate and do this over coaching changes and quarterback, because you have established a culture and everybody has to hold to it. And then you see teams like the Philadelphia Eagles, who had a spark when they started, but now they're just garbage. You see the Cleveland Browns, who are willing to sell their soul for Mr. Nasty Man at quarterback, and you see the differences. The talent, for the most part, at the teams at the top and good teams in the National Football League, it is virtually the same. Everybody's got good quarterback play. Everybody's got good coaching. Everybody has talent. It is the other things that separate you. And it is easy to see why the winners win and the losers lose. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about the Kansas City Royals. J.J. Piccolo had his final press conference of the season with the Kansas City Royals. We'll play to you what he had to say. We'll also have Vern on the show to get his thoughts. And J.J. Piccolo said this team needs an outfielder this offseason. I'm inclined to agree. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to be joined by Josh Vernier. We'll get his thoughts on J.J. Piccolo's end-of-the-season press conference. Here is J.J. Piccolo, the general manager of your Kansas City Royals, and here he is talking about what the plan is for the offseason.
You know, generally speaking, when you're looking at left field, right field, that's where you're thinking about. They're your power guys, you know, and we know this ballpark doesn't lend itself to homers, but it does lend itself to slug. So we've got to be more productive there. And that's where I think being optimistic about some of the guys that we have and looking at the experience they have, I think that's fine. Like we shouldn't be writing guys off because they're in their third year in the major leagues. It takes some years to become good major league hitters. Now, along the way, that doesn't mean what Q was able to do this year. You don't help them along. You help them succeed. You know, you don't put them in positions where they're going to fail. So if a left-handed hitter gets a left-handed pitcher, you want to have a right-handed side of that. And if that's how we have to go for the next year or two before guys really become everyday guys, that's the way we'll have to do it. But, you know, clearly, you know, Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi, you know, if Vinny doesn't get hurt, we got three guys over 100 RBIs. I think we would have been the only team in baseball that would have had three over 100 RBIs. They're carrying the lion's share of the offense and the production, and that's okay. So that should take more pressure off of the back end of the lineup. But again, the outfield is a spot that we need to be more productive.
Rob, looking at where they got the bulk of their plate appearances by outfielders this past year, it was MJ Melendez, Kyle Isbell, and Hunter Renfroe. Those are the three individuals they got the most ABs for this team. Among those three outfielders, they had 11 home runs this past season from those three individuals. Now, I understand what he's saying about this not being a park, that you're not going to hit a lot of home runs, and that is the expectations. Man, you got to be able to do some other stuff. You got to be able to have some extra base hits. You got to be able to hit at a high average. You got to be able to slug. I mean, all three of those individuals hit below 230 this past season. If you want to look at where there are very obvious places for improvement with the Kansas City Royals for next season, it is in one of those three outfield spots. I told you, heading into next year, I don't think you can have Mikel Garcia and MJ Melendez both start for you next year. Those guys are fine in a depth role coming off the bench, and they're on your 25-40 man roster. Perfectly fine if that's the case. But a problem for this team was once you got past 2 through 4, there was a little bit of a lull in the lineup. And when you dealt with some injuries and when you lost some of your key guys, the back half of your lineup was just not capable of carrying you. So I don't expect the Royals. They're not going out and signing Juan Soto, for example. That's not what the Royals are going to do this past season. But if you're willing to spend 3 for $45, 3 for $51, somewhere in that range, you'll be able to find a decent corner, whether it's infield bat or outfield bat, that you think could potentially help round out this lineup.
And the Royals tried this last year to an extent. Hunter Renfroe was brought in to be that guy, but he got hurt this year and did not hit the way they thought he'd hit. Now, that's just the nature of the market and the economics of baseball. Sometimes Royals are going to take swings, and they are going to get guys like Hunter Renfroe, and Hunter Renfroe doesn't produce the way they thought. Michael Wacha was, they took a swing at another starting pitcher, and they got a great starting pitcher. They took a swing at corner outfield, and it didn't work. So I think you will probably see a move in that vein again in corner outfield, similar to Hunter Renfroe, but JJ is smart enough, the front office is smart enough, the team is smart enough to know, hey, you just learned last season with starting pitching. You can never have too much. So if that means another Renfroe type is signed just to another corner outfielder, keep taking swings.
Let me correct myself really quickly. I was reading the wrong column. I was reading triples. MJ Melendez had 17 home runs. Kyle Isbell had 8 home runs. Hunter Renfroe had 15 home runs. Not really a lot of RBI production from the bottom half of it. MJ Melendez had 17 home runs and had 44 RBIs this year. Kyle Isbell had 42 RBIs. Also, Hunter Renfroe had 52 again. All three of those individuals hit below 230. All three of them had an on-base percentage that was also below 300. You just didn't get a lot of offensive production from any of those three outfielders that got a majority of the ABs for your team. One more cut I want to play from JJ Piccolo before we're joined by our guy Josh Fernier. Here he is talking about offseason trades, and now the Royals, they could possibly be a destination this offseason.
Very open-minded to it. If we're going to sustain success over a number of years, it's unrealistic to think that every player that puts on a Royals uniform that came out of our minor leagues system is going to play all 6 years and becomes a free agent. That doesn't mean we're necessarily wanting to do it. It just may be out of necessity, you know, and a lot of that will just be dictated by the interest other clubs have, because you don't do it just to do it. You do it because you can add to your system, add to your major league team. So the value of the player and the interest that the other teams may have in the player is really going to dictate if and when and how that'll happen.
How much more attractive do you feel like this place will be to players that you want to acquire?
Well, just going through our experience last year, a lot of the free agents, you know, brought that to our attention. You know, you have a potential superstar on the field, so it's certainly going to help. It's not going to hurt. When players reach free agency, you know, in my mind, they go through three phases. One, do I belong? Two, how do I stay? And then three, I want to win. You know, and that's when guys reach free agency, they're in that third stage. So they're going to want to go to places that they fit and they believe they can win. And then when you look at some of the foundation that's here right now, I would think we'd be attractive, and Bobby and Salvi would be two of the guys they'd be attracted to.
My good friend Gabe DeArmond always says this when it comes to recruiting. There are two kind of recruiting pitches. It is, we are bad and we need you to help make us good, or we are good, we need you to help us come be great. I think the Royals are in the second category. They had a very good season this past year, but I think it is obvious that there are a couple missing pieces that if the Royals want to take that jump and compete for the American League Central and be a legitimate player next year in the postseason, they're going to have to make one or two moves potentially this offseason to put themselves in that category. Let's go to the phone lines right now to be joined by Josh Fernier to get his thoughts on what we heard earlier today from JJ Piccolo as he has his end of the season press conference. Vern, I'm sad that it's over, man.
The press conference?
The season is over. I'm hurt.
Yeah, well, that's baseball. As the late commissioner Bart Giamatti said, baseball will break your heart. It's designed to break your heart.
So you were at the press conference earlier today. What was the tone? What was the temperament? What was your biggest takeaway from what we heard earlier today?
Well, I think you just heard the tone and the temperament of the general manager. As far as the takeaway, you know, it's an end of the year press conference. To me, it's a lot like an introductory press conference. Smart general managers are not going to overpromise, right? You're going to highlight the things in which you did well and acknowledge the aspects in which you hope to improve. But, you know, a 30-game improvement from 2023 to 2024, not much negativity inside the Swanee interview room inside Kauffman Stadium.
So looking at the outfielders from last year, they got the most ABs, MJ Melendez, Kyle Isbell, Hunter Renfroe. Let's talk about MJ Melendez. I feel like this season we saw Bobby Witt take that next step. Vinny took that next step this year. I would say in a lot of ways Michael Massey also took a nice step, certainly with somebody that this offense could rely on for the final, you know, 30, 45 games of the season or so. What do you think has stopped MJ from taking that next leap? Do you think he'll be around for the Royals to allow him to do that?
Well, I disagree that he's somewhere behind a Michael Massey, right? What MJ Melendez did in the second half of last season, Michael Massey's never done. MJ Melendez has remained healthy for a full season. Vinny Pasquantino's never done that. Again, Bobby Witt Jr. is an MVP candidate and will be for the next decade plus. So, yeah, he made the jump to that MVP caliber. But, yeah, I would disagree that Massey made any sort of jump, that we saw something new from Vinny this year. This Vinny this year, to me, was the guy that we started to see last year prior to the shoulder injury. And the upside of MJ Melendez is still there. To me, you're a mid-market, small-market ball club. MJ Melendez is not the type of talent that Kansas City can let get away, right? He, in my opinion, still has 25, 30 home run power. He's, 25, about to turn 25? I think MJ Melendez certainly has a spot on the opening day roster for next year.
Looking at this team, I think one decision that the Royals tried to kind of make a move and it didn't work out, I think that's the Hunter Renfroe move. They were kind of counting on him to be some form of stability. You know, you go out, you make a move, you sign him, you're thinking that he's going to add to it. But, I mean, I would say it's just a problem that they had at the beginning of the season, and now that we close out the season, they still have the exact same problem despite paying Hunter Renfroe.
Yeah, and they're going to pay him again next year as well. He had a terrible month of April, no doubt about it. But once the calendar flipped to May, he was who he's been for the past 6-7 years of his big league career, and that is an extra base provider. Unfortunately, got hurt again at the in the second half of the season, and we didn't see him get hot again, and we obviously didn't see him much in October. But he has a player option, right? You know, I heard JJ talking about, you presenting it as if Kansas City could be a destination now for free agents. I don't get that sense just yet. To me, Kansas City's a place where, yeah, playing with Bobby would be fun, but you got to pay me, right? I'm not taking any sort of a discount to go to Kansas City. To me, they're not that close to being the team of the next. They're not where Baltimore was last year, where you think, man, if I could just jump aboard that train, this is going to be a squad that's going to be winning this American League East for the next half decade. Yeah, to your overall point, yeah, if you're looking for an offensive improvement as far as thump this offseason, yeah, it's likely going to be a one-year contract with a player option for a second. It's going to be a guy that's not going to play every single day. I certainly wouldn't assume with Renfroe and Isbell and Melendez all returning next season. Maybe they platoon with MJ in left for a while. Maybe they platoon with Renfroe in right for a while. But an everyday bat, the kind of free agents that we saw last offseason, I'm not holding my breath for that.
Ver, do you think there's any chance that this organization is willing to spend the 3-for-45 to 3-for-41 for an outfield bat? Or do you think it's only that market you're talking about, a one-year deal with a very heavily favored player option for that player to come back for year two?
Yeah, I would lean towards the latter. The 3-for-45, 3-for-50, that's a guy that's going to hit in the middle of your lineup. Or at least, 5, 6, 7 in your lineup and play just about every day. I don't see where anyone plays every single day, because who are we giving up on? Or who are the Royals giving up on? Massey or Michael? I'm not saying they play every day, but who are you giving up on where you're giving an everyday role to someone else? I don't see that spot in the field. And, I don't know if I see that spot even at designated hitter unless you make a move this offseason and you depart with one of these offensive pieces, one of these arms. You know, that's how you could open up some everyday at-bats. But again, an organization that broke off north of $100 million in free agent money this past offseason and obviously benefited from it. Lugo's making 15 again. I mentioned Renfro's coming back at a big number for the type of production that he's been putting out there. And the biggest loss isn't, the biggest loss, the biggest hole to me is not in the offense. It's going to be in that spot that Michael Wacha is going to vacate in the rotation, because the only reason why this team was even competitive, the only reason why this team made it to October was that starting pitching. You don't lose someone the caliber of Michael Wacha and think, all right, next man up. To offset the loss of a Michael Wacha, you're going to need a lot of internal improvement. So for as much as we want to look externally for the answer for the 2025 Kansas City Royals, it's likely internally. It's Michael, it's Massey, it's MJ, it's Brady, it's Marsh. It's the guys that we saw kind of put it together in the second half, the Bubich, the Daniel Lynches, guys that hopefully have taken this home stretch, this trip to October, and are going to use it as fuel and come back better than ever this February.
Vern, could you see a scenario in which one of those guys get traded? Could they package a MJ Melendez? Could they package a Brady Singer to go get what they want if they don't want to go out in free agency and spend big bucks?
Of course, of course. And they're going to have to do that consistently. Again, for as much as I know John Sherman would push back with the thought that the Royals are copying how Cleveland and Tampa and Milwaukee, how they go about winning consistently. And I'll give them this. You know, they do things somewhat different in Kansas City, like breaking Bobby Witt Jr. off $300 million. Haven't seen that in those other small market teams. But, the Royals can't stop. The way they built this team, trades, waiver claims, great free agent signings, some homegrown talent, that's what they need to do every single offseason, every single year. You need to win those waiver claims, win those trades. I remember being on with you when they signed Seth Lugo. We liked the deal, but we certainly didn't think they were going to come away with the guy that's going to make 33 starts with a 3 ERA and make it to his first All-Star game. Those are the type of home runs this team needs to hit damn near every year, whether it's a trade deadline deal like Cole Reagan's or it's a free agent signing like Seth Lugo. JJ can't stop if they want to win the way that they the way that John Sherman wants them to win, to be in the wild card conversation every single season. No, you have to be open to trading everyone outside of Bobby Witt Jr. You know, there are Bobby Witt Jr. and Cole Reagan's. There's no one that you're really tied to, right? Lucas Ursegg, obviously, Hunter Harvey, guys that have a lot of control. But as far as, extending them past their team control, a Lugo or all of them, when they hit free agency, they're likely leaving Kansas City, everybody but Bobby Witt Jr. So you're always ready to churn that talent and bring in new faces, new arms, new bats.
Vern, what was it like to have Sunday off? I don't think you've had a Sunday off since that Cardinals series. They had that weird Friday, Saturday, and then they didn't play on Sunday. You don't get a whole lot of Sundays off from April until now.
Yeah, it was back-to-back. Royals had the previous Sunday off before returning home to take on the Yankees. It was a nice reason to sign back up for another few months of Red Zone. So, yeah, very nice. And now I'll have every Sunday off until, April.
That is our guy, Josh Vern. You're joining us on the show today. Vern, man, I'm not sure the next time you're going to be on the show. I don't think we're going to get any more new Royals news for a while, man. Thanks a lot for hopping on today.
You said that on Friday. Nice to talk to you again.
You know what, Vern? I forgot about the end of the season press conference. It's been a while since we've acknowledged that on this show. My apologies.
All good.
That is our guy, Josh Vern. You're joining us on the show today. No, it's been a while. Last year, we definitely did not. Oh, JJ Piccolo talked at the end of a 56-win season. No, I just forgot they did that. I knew the Chiefs did it. There's a reason why they do it. They lose in January or February. I forgot. So, no, that's my bad. Vern, I promise you, until there's news, you will not be on the show again, man. No, I appreciate your time. I was thinking this yesterday as I was watching the NFL. There are not many teams in the NFL that I would consider to be fun. There's not many teams. You guys watch the same NFL that I watch. How many teams in the league would you say, man, that team's a lot of fun to watch. I like that team. I want to watch more of that team. The Lions are certainly one of those teams. And boy, I mean, did they put the stone cold stare yesterday on the Dallas Cowboys? I'm talking about belt to backside what they did to the Cowboys in front of everybody. There were children watching yesterday. You know another team, Rob, that's actually really fun to watch? It's this team.
Those haters can't stand us. Left hand up. Who are we? The Commanders.
I have very much enjoyed watching the Commanders. Now, I know they lost yesterday, but the expectation was not to go on the road and beat Baltimore. You know what? This Commanders team is a lot of fun. They've got good offensive weapons. They have a very exciting quarterback. They've got a good schedule here coming up over the course of the next couple of weeks. I want to see more Commanders. I'm going to tell you this. We need to go ahead and start being prepared for some Sunday night football games to be flexed out so we can watch the Commanders. I never thought I would say this. Coming up in 2 weeks, we need to start talking about Commanders and Bears getting flexed to a more desirable position. That game right now is at noon. I could live with that being a Thursday night football game. I could live with that being a Sunday night game. I want to watch both of those quarterbacks get busy and get to work. I never thought I would say that, but right now, the Commanders are one of the five most fun teams to watch in the league. I'm not saying they're one of the five best teams in the league. I'm not ready to put them in that conversation yet. But if you were just talking about a Sunday and you want to watch a team play, give me some Commanders. Give me some Jaden Daniels. Give me some Brian Robertson. Give me some Terry McLaurin catching touchdowns in the back of the end zone. Jaden Daniels running around scoring touchdowns. The Commanders are fun.
You want to know why they're fun? They're one of the handful of teams in the league that has a quarterback that's actually playing competent football right now. He's good. He's actually very good. Saying competent is a little bit of an insult, but Carrington, if we went team by team, we did all 32, and I said, hey, the quarterback of team X, good, bad, competent, terrible. More times than not, it would be in the bad category. Jaden Daniels is one of those guys who is not in the bad category. That's why they're fun to watch. Their quarterback's fun to watch, but I'll watch a red zone on Sunday. Titans, Colts, two terrible quarterbacks, unwatchable football. The league is way more of those guys than they do Jaden Daniels types.
I will say, I actually kind of like watching Joe Flacco. I can't believe that we've got here the Joe Flacco. I'm sitting there watching, like, man, you know what? Joe Flacco is not that bad. You know what? I reject that notion about Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco is a lot of fun. This was a great weekend in college football. College football this weekend was better than the NFL. So coming up on the other side, we're going to give the college kids their due, and we're going to give out some helmet stickers. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Coming up in just a bit, I've got some stats about a player that you guys are very familiar with. We'll go through those. We'll also get back to this weekend in the NFL coming up in just a bit. I did an interview in San Francisco this morning to get ready for Sunday's game against the Niners. And two things became very apparent to me, and I'll share with you what they are. But before we do that, I watched a lot of college football this weekend. I actually watched more college football this weekend than I watched the NFL. After Red Zone was over at 3:25, there really wasn't much else that happened in the league. The Lions smoked the Cowboys. That was a no for me. And you guys think I was going to spend my Sunday night watching Daniel Jones play quarterback? Nope. No, thank you. I'm okay. You know what? I'll just go ahead and rest up, and I'll be ready for Monday night football today between the Bills and the Jets. So I watched a lot of college football this weekend. It was an incredible slate. It is time for us to give out some helmet stickers from the weekend. You know what? I am going to give my first helmet sticker out to a team. I'm going to give it to BYU today. BYU is the best team in the Big 12. They have played three teams so far in the Big 12, and boy, have they taken care of business. They beat K-State 38-9. They went on the road and beat Baylor, and they just smoked Arizona 41-19. They've got Oklahoma State at home this weekend. No reason to think that they won't do the exact same thing to them. You look at their schedule. Now, they got a road game against Utah, also a road game against Arizona State. Two teams that are pretty pesky and tough road places to play. But if you're asking me right now, I think one of the two spots in the Big 12 championship is locked up. I expect BYU to be there. They have been very, very good so far in conference play.
I'm going to get my first helmet sticker to Tyler Warren. Now, he's the tight end at Penn State, but if you were watching Penn State-USC on Saturday, you saw he does everything. He threw a pass, he rushed the ball, he played receiver, he played tight end, he's played offensive line this year. He was everywhere on the football field, and oh yeah, as the tight end, he had a casual 17 catches for 224 yards and a touchdown. Andy Kolonecki, first things first, I miss you at Kansas. Second thing, as the offensive coordinator at Penn State, is creative, and he has found a way to make Tyler Warren a tight end, one of the biggest weapons in college football. Penn State, a team that every year we make fun of. Oh, they have two losses chalked up, Michigan, Ohio State. They are currently undefeated and trending toward the college football playoff. Tyler Warren, dominant in the Coliseum on Saturday, gets my helmet sticker.
You know what? Why don't we hold out a little bit of judgment on Penn State? They still got they got on the road against Wisconsin coming up. That's a night game. That's a spot that they usually lose. And coming up in a couple of weeks, guess who they play? They play Ohio State. If they're the team that you think they are, they got a game against Ohio State. They will prove it. You were right, though. The schedule has opened up in a way that Penn State has a legitimate shot of playing for a national championship this year. I was impressed by what they did on the road. I also think this is the best quarterback that they've had in Happy Valley in quite some time. I'm going to give a helmet sticker out to another team. I'm going to give it to Clemson. Clemson got smoked that first game of the season on the road, or I guess in a neutral site against Georgia. They lost 34-3. Since then, they have beat every opponent by double digits. They beat Appalachian State by 46. They beat NC State by 24. They beat Stanford by 26. They went on the road and smoked Florida State, and they just took care of Wake Forest 49-14. Now, that is not an impressive slate for Clemson. The rest of their slate is not impressive either. They got a game against Louisville, on the road against Virginia Tech, and on the road against Pitt. But Clemson looks like a team that could be one half of the ACC picture, and they're going up against Miami. If Miami can finish this thing out, and the winner will have a spot in the college football playoff. I'm going to give it to Clemson, who is bouncing back and looking like one of the better teams in the ACC.
I think a lot of that. You said, wait a minute, on Penn State. It's very schedule-driven with Clemson.
I agree, 100%.
They're looking better, but they're looking better beating the dregs of a bad league.
100%.
I'm going to give out my second helmet sticker to Avery Johnson. Now, listen, K-State fans, you know, in the offseason, I said, let's just wait. Let's wait before we anoint Avery Johnson. Let's just see it first. And the first couple weeks of the season, I didn't see it. I know K-State fans saw it, but I didn't. I didn't see it against Tulane. I didn't see it against UT, whatever, Martin, Arlington, whoever they played. But you know what? On Saturday night, I saw it. Sometimes with I know he's a sophomore, but a first-year starter, a young quarterback, it takes time to figure it out. And on Saturday, it seemed like he figured it out. That touchdown pass to Jace Brown to win the game was really impressive. A lot of quarterbacks in college football don't make a perfect pass in that moment. Under pressure, game on the line, dot, as the kids are saying. Avery Johnson, I was patient. I said, let's wait. I waited, and he appears to be that guy, the guy that K-State fans promised me, told me he was. He looked that way in Boulder over the weekend.
I want to give you guys some stats here before we get back to the NFL. I want to give you guys some stats about L'Jarius Sneed, because L'Jarius Sneed was a guy last year that we argued should have been all pro, a guy who was certainly in the conversation to be in one of the best corners in the league. Now, the Chiefs didn't seem too interested in paying L'Jarius Sneed, and they let him go to the Tennessee Titans. Going to ask you guys a couple of questions. Now, these numbers might surprise you a little bit, but I'm telling you that they are real. Did you guys know that L'Jarius Sneed has zero pass deflections this season? He had 17 last year and had 26 in his final 2 years with the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, Rob, L'Jarius Sneed has zero targets zero pass deflection. He leads them in targets. So it's not like they are throwing to other guys. Did you know, Rob, that there are 184 corners who are graded on Pro Football Focus? Did you know that right now L'Jarius Sneed is ranked 180th on Pro Football Focus? They have him as a bottom five corner in terms of pass grade. It is not strong. He is average. Coverage grade, below average this year. Run defense, below average this year. L'Jarius Sneed is having a terrible season. Terrible season. I only bring that up because I will give Brett Veach a lot of credit for this, and I know I go back and forth on Brett Veach, but sometimes that's the job, you know? There is not a player over the course of the last four or five seasons that I can remember that the Chiefs didn't want that we went back and thought, man, they made a mistake. Maybe you think that about Tyreek Hill, but we can agree that was a different set of circumstances. I think the Chiefs really wanted him to stay, and I just don't think it made financial sense. I also don't think it made sense for your culture. I think you had to let Tyreek Hill go, and obviously it has worked out well. At least it's worked out really well for Kansas City. It has worked out financially well for Tyreek Hill to go play for another team. There has not been a player over the course of the last couple of years that you look back and think, man, the Chiefs made a mistake in letting that person go. Right now, it looks like Sneed was a creation of this defense. That's what it looks like. It looks like you got out of Spag's system. You got out of the incredible environment that is created here in Kansas City. You had to go hunt for your own food, and you're bad. For him to be 180th on Pro Football Focus, I know that not everybody's a big Pro Football Focus fan. Maybe you don't trust that ranking. He's been below average then. He's below average in that, doesn't have a pass deflection, doesn't have an interception this year, has not made a meaningful play for Tennessee this year. The Chiefs look like a team that got out at the right time. They used up the rookie value of that player. They bid him adieu. They cashed out when they could cash out. And now I think you feel very happy about your cornerback room, how you've played so far, and you continue to do this without locking yourself long-term to any of them. Now, I think that is about to change, and I think that Trent McDuffie is about to get paid this offseason. If you've had the start to his career that you've had, and you're going to be all pro for two of your first 3 years, and you see what Surtain got, and you also see what Sauce Gardner got, if I'm Trent McDuffie, I'm asking to get paid at the end of the season. I've shown you I'm a top elite corner in the National Football League. I should be compensated as such. But the Chiefs, they made the right decision. They let Sneed go. They have kept Trent McDuffie, and they have one of the better young corners in the National Football League. And this L'Jarius Sneed contract is going very, very poorly right now for the Tennessee Titans. Coming up at the top of the hour, I did an interview earlier today in San Francisco with one of our sister stations, and something became very obvious to me over the course of the conversation. I'll share with you what it is. Keep it right here. So drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.